The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, it's about small space gardening, as well as we'll go over techniques in order to have a better cucumber harvest. And our guest will be polymer scientist, engineer, and developer of the tree diaper, Wei Zhang, will be with us, and we'll answer your garden questions. And it all starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on the program, whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 stations our show is broadcasted on here in the United States in 2021, through our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, underneath the Season 5 radio tab, or podcast replay or in-studio video replay. We thank you for choosing us to be part of your world for an hour today. If you would like to get a hold of us during the program, after the program, whenever, you can certainly do that by emailing us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us, you can give us a call, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. You can call us. If we can't get you on during the show, call us anytime, and we will return your phone call with the answer to your question or situation. Well, we're going to get in the program and talk about small space gardening. But first, Holly, we installed a couple of bird feeders out in the front yard and filled it with Wild Delight premium bird feed. And we can't keep the bird feeders full.
No, it's a very busy bird station. We see finches, sparrows,
cardinals, morning doves.
Yeah. Morning doves.
Morning doves, yeah.
So they love the bird seed, and it's been fun watching them.
Well, we put Wild Delight in the bird feeders, and there's not much kick out because there's not filler in that bird feed. It's all premium seed and berry mixes, which is what the birds like, and it's just we can't keep up with it. It's just a frenzy of bird activity, pretty much. And we're next to a very active road, and the bird feeders maybe 12 feet off the road. They don't mind.
No, and then they sit on the fence there too. And they kind of just hang out.
Yeah. It's something that enjoyable to watch.
And even in the big garden.
Yeah. Big garden, we've got a couple of bird feeders filled. And same thing. Hard to keep up with the amount of filling, which is a good problem to have. Well, if you are of a large, small space gardening can be done anywhere. Whether you have a large garden that you're currently growing and you want to add additional containers or fill in spots and other places, or you don't have anything at all, small space gardening, there's some things in which we need to know about in order for us to be successful.
Right. So one thing to keep in mind is that you have to think about your light. So if you have a sunny spot, that's going to be more preferable, but you can also grow things in less sun.
Partial shade is the term that's used. That requires about 5 or 6 hours of light. Full sun, the spectrum is 8+ hours of sunlight. So if you're growing in a small space in a container, you can move that container around. If you're physically in the ground, let's say a side bed of the house where you're renting or something that they have allowed you to, use a little area, you kind of got to figure out what's there now, what shade problems may exist later on, because everything's full sun right now. We got no leaves on the trees up here in the northern portion of the United States. So you think, oh, I'm going to plant. And then, in July, you're like, it's awful shady here.
Right. That's another thing, especially if you are growing maybe in a community garden or a spot where your landlord says, this is your little area.
This is it.
You may want to think about, if you are going to grow compactly, think about the soil. So even though you're like, well, there's soil there, you might have to bring in some compost or something to kind of help feed that soil, because you don't know what kind of nutrients are still left in it.
Well, and that brings up the other thing. If you're growing in containers because you don't want to dig or you can't dig or whatever the reason is, you can use – there's any type of container works. Now, you can get a grow bag from RootMaker.com and use Radio21 as a coupon code and save 15% on your entire order. They've got grow bags from 1 gallon to 60 gallon. Now, the thing that you need to be aware of about grow bags, pots, containers, porcelain, ceramic, the larger the container, the more soil it will hold, the more nutrients it will be able to give the plant, and the slower it will dry out. The drying out part is the big problem here because, oh, everything, look, you know, it's a little cute 1 gallon grow bag, which is fine. And we've got about 7 tiny Tim tomatoes in grow bags that stay inside year round. They get about 16 inches tall and they bear a whole bunch of grape tomatoes. We don't have to put them on the porch. We just keep them in the window and we can monitor them. But if you're going to set that out to the side of the house, that thing's going to dry up and the plant's going to be dead in about 4 hours in July.
Right. That's a very good point. So that's something to keep in mind is the size of the container and how often you might have to water it at the peak of the summer.
And if you're going to go with the container route, you can go with a drip irrigation system. They call it, it's a patio set, I think, from dripworks.com that is set up for container usage. Works very well. If you're going to grow in a small area, you want to look for varieties that use terms such as, in their name, patio,
compact,
tiny, dwarf, baby.
Yeah, all of those words, like words that are synonymous to small.
And there are plenty of varieties out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot, especially as we have more technology, there's hybridization. It's all good. You can definitely grow those smaller varieties.
There's a patio sweet corn that's compact. There's compact tomatoes or the tiny Tim. There's tiny Tom peas that are 8 inches tall. So there's a lot of different – there's a bush cucumber.
Yeah, there's just even bush beans. Maybe you really like green beans. You want to grow a bunch of beans. You can do bush beans. Those produce a lot of beans for you.
Now, if you're wanting to grow world record state fair pumpkin out of a container – you might want to reevaluate your dreams and hopes because it probably is not going to work.
You might want to talk to your friend that lives outside of the area where you are and see if you can borrow their backyard for a bit.
Because not everything can be grown in a container in a small space. Pumpkins need 50 to 100 square feet. So, you keep that in mind. You can do a couple of different planting methods. The square foot gardening method, companion planting, vertical gardening, succession planting, window gardening inside. So let's briefly go over what are these companion, square foot, vertical, Holly.
Sure. So, yeah. So
just so we're on the same page. I know many people know, but let's just get everybody in the same area here.
So I wouldn't necessarily call it companion planting. I would call it more or less like, what's the word? Kind of polyculture. But also just the ability, if you have, say, you want to grow radishes, and then after those radishes are done, you want to put a tomato. So kind of, that's kind of succession planting.
Well,
no, that's
not succession planting. No, you're using,
interplacing crops.
Yeah, seasonal planting.
Seasonal planting. Or, with that being said, you could plant basil right next to your tomato and tomatoes, and that would typically work too. So you're kind of growing herbs within the other plants.
One doesn't make, if you grow not together, because sometimes that you need a separate container or distance from that. You just can't shove it right up next to it and make it hug it and make it everything great.
Right. You need some distance. But companion planting, the idea is that one plant helps the other, essentially. But there's no real scientific proof there.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, to a certain degree, The fragrance from the basil helps deter insects that would normally get on a plant that it's next to, type of thing. Square foot gardening.
So square foot gardening is the idea that per 1 square foot, you might grow X amount of vegetables. So for example, 1 tomato per square foot. Is it 16 radishes? 9 beets, 16 carrots. Mm-hmm. And so it's the idea that if you think about your container or your garden as square feet, it kind of helps you lay out your garden and it helps you use the space the best as opposed to planting in rows.
And vertical garden, grow up a trellis, whether it's a fence that you've had permission from the neighbor or you create some type of device for cucumber or bush beans or pole beans to grow up on or some type of other fruiting vegetable or vine. So that's pretty common there. Succession planting is the procedure of which, let's say you've got four 5 gallon buckets and you've got drainage holes, and that's the key in container gardening. You got to have drainage holes. So you plant, 9 bean plants in 1 5-gallon bucket. That's 1 square foot this week. Next week, you plant another 9 in the next bucket, and so on and so forth. So you have a progressive harvest. So not all 4 or 5 buckets come in at the same time if you just want enough for a couple of meals and you're not overwhelmed. So that's what succession planting is, and you can do that with a variety of different crops. And then growing indoors in combination or separate to – you can grow a lot of herbs indoors in a south-facing window, even west or east. North, you're kind of limited on that.
Yeah, that's a little bit iffy.
You can get a Happy Leaf LED grow light and grow year-round and grow phenomenal crops with a Happy Leaf LED grow light.
And that might be a better option for you.
Right.
You know, you might want to
It's an investment.
It is an investment, but you might want to set up a little corner of your home, and you're like, I just don't have the patience or the time or whatever for outdoors, but I can monitor this more easily or make it more accessible to me, and you might want to invest in that Happy Leaf.
Right, and people will say, oh, I've got a grow light. It's $15 from a big box store. Well, the $15 grow light from the big box store is limiting about five times. The plants want about 5 to 10 times more light exposure than what that light could ever dream of giving. That's why the Happy Leaf is the highly recommended light in which you can start seeds with and utilize it year-round. So, and the Tiny Tim cherry tomato, or the Tiny Tim tomato plant, grape tomato plant that we're growing, produces probably 80 to 90 grape tomatoes over the course of a growing season. A compact cherry tomato plant can produce about 200 cherry tomatoes over the course of a growing season. So keep that in mind. If you want a lot of little cherry tomatoes, a cherry tomato plant of either indeterminate or determinate variety would be the way to go. Another thing you can do, whether you're barbecuing, you're seasoning meat, you're making jerky, or you're harvesting the animals that you're growing on your property, you need the right tools and you need the right seasoning. And we've got the place that you can make a one-stop shop for all of that, and that's Walton's Incorporated.
Yeah, the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from, canning, preserving, or just growing in your windowsill, all sorts of great stuff. But what about the meat? At Walton's Inc., you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way. Burgers, steaks, what have you, chicken stuff, all sorts of good stuff. You can even season your vegetables. And if you want to help, you know, help you find help to make the best finished product, Walton's has their full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. You can go to waltonsinc.com.
When we come back, it's about growing cucumbers, some of the tips that you need to have the best success for your garden season. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
If you love growing tomatoes, then you have to try Tomato Secret by Dr. Jim's. At the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show Gardens, we stand behind Tomato Secret and recommend it to all gardeners who would like to easily grow higher quality tomatoes with more color, flavor, less bugs, and diseases. Tomato Secret is specifically designed to grow high quality tomatoes, and it's made with 12 natural ingredients so pure you could feed them to a cow. Simply apply 1 cup in the hole at planting, then sprinkle 1 cup around the plant 1 month later. That's all it takes to grow the best tomatoes on earth. With this product, you'll not have to guess what's wrong with your tomato plants because it has everything they need. Grow the largest and most delicious tomatoes on earth. To find out more about Tomato Secret, visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com. If you could double the life of your raised bed boxes by sealing the wood with a clear non-toxic wood preservative, would you? Well, now you can with a clear penetrating product called Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's 100% non-toxic and easy to apply. Seal your untreated wood surfaces, even chicken coops, by spraying on Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's invisible, seals the wood from the inside out, and never wears off. Recommended by organic gardening experts. Internal wood stabilizer. Check it out at TimberProCoatingsUSA.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Rinse Kit, your hose on the go. Pressurized water at your fingertips. Without pumping or battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink. On your way out to the garden, beach, or anywhere, spray it, wash it, Rinse Kit. How would you like to be able to fertilize, aerate, and dethatch your lawn using just one product? And at the same time, improve the soil and root development? Introducing Lawn Force 5, a five-way lawn care kit in a bottle. Lawn Force 5 gives you a lush and healthy lawn you can be proud of. And it takes away the expense of hard work that comes with mechanically aerating and dethatching the lawn. Visit our friends at naturslawn.com to find out more about the amazing Lawn Force 5 product. That's naturslawn.com. Use discount code GARDEN-TALK for 10% off your order. You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. Early blight is a bad bacteria in everyone's soil. When splashed up on the leaves of your tomato plant, it can kill the tomato plant progressively over the course of the growing season. One way to reduce this is at the time of planting, take a handful of yellow whole grain cornmeal and sprinkle around the base. It contains a beneficial bacteria in it called Trichoderma that fights that bad bacteria, which is the early blight. You can reduce the amount of early blight your tomatoes will receive by about 80%. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider. The cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. We've been using a game-changing tool called SeedLinked to find and review our seeds this year. It makes finding the right seeds simple. It is driven by growers' data, so you can really see what's best for your location. Check it out at SeedLinked.com or download the mobile app today.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit IvyOrganics.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, SeedLink. Find all sponsors at theWisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being part of the program today. We talked about small space gardening, and watering is a key to any type of gardening, and Tree Diaper can adapt to the needs in which you and your plants need.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly release water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. made in the USA. Check it all out at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
People grow tomatoes. That's kind of the number one go. And I would assume beans and cucumbers are two and three tied, at least in our garden. People have difficulty getting cucumbers to grow as well as they hope they should.
I feel like we get a lot of questions about cucumbers, but we never really address it. Like, I mean, we address the questions, but we don't really like talk about it. So it's good we're talking about it.
Yeah. So first thing we need to know about cucumbers is, what do we want to grow? Do we want to grow a slicing cucumber? Do we want to grow a pickling cucumber? Note to everybody, if you want to pickle cucumbers, don't use slicing cucumbers as pickling cucumbers because they turn to mush.
But you can use pickling cucumbers as slicing cucumbers.
Correct.
So that's the thing. So if you want, if you do want to grow pickling cucumbers, don't pick up a package of slicing. You are going to be disappointed.
And they are varieties called burpless cucumbers. What does that mean?
So burpless cucumbers just means that they're bred without having
Genetically modified.
Not genetically
hybridized.
Modified. Yeah, hybridized without having the element in it called cucurbitacin. And that's what causes a lot of people to have that reaction in their bodies where they kind of either get like an indigestion or that
gas.
Cucumber burps, basically.
Now, a lot of people, and we are just like many of you, we want to get the crops in the ground as soon as possible. One, for a little self-gratification that, hey, we were able to get a tomato or a pepper or an eggplant or cucumber sooner than we'd ever have before. However, cucumbers are one of these crops that they don't like that. They need soil temperatures at root zone at least 65 degrees consistent. Now, you take a digital thermometer, meat thermometer, you put it in the ground about an inch deep, and you can get a very accurate read on that. But it needs to be consistent. They do not like cold feet. And if you start your cucumbers indoors, that's fine. But however, direct sowing them from seed is really the easiest way. It takes up less, you know, you don't have to buy potting soil, you don't have to put them underneath a grow light, you don't have to take care of them. And in about 4 weeks, if you put a comparison between the ones you started indoors and the ones you started from seed outside, they will be the same size. So you don't want to put them in too early is what I'm getting at here.
Well, you know that growing up, we didn't start seed.
You had
seeds.
A whole system with you growing up.
But we had cucumbers.
I know.
Always. So yeah.
You didn't start anything indoors. Everything was started from seed outside, and somehow everything produced.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Gardening magic.
Mm-hmm. And okay. So we need to have full sun. Now, whether you're having, you know, a bush cucumber variety, which kind of whenever you look at those, they don't have a climbing capability. They grow much like a giant zucchini plant as a shrub or a bush. Most cucumbers vine. And if you vertically grow them on a trellis, you're actually going, it's been scientifically proven, you actually will get more production out of that plant because it's elevated. The bees can get in there and pollinate, or other pollinators can get in there and pollinate the flowers. There are cucumber varieties that don't require pollination. They self-pollinate because they only produce, they're hybridized, they only produce female flowers. So if you have a lack of pollinators, or if you want to grow these indoors, you can certainly do that. It does work, and it's a real thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely an option for you. Maybe it's not an option for you to grow them outside, and you really love homegrown cucumbers. You could get those cucumbers without the – what'd you call them?
Flowers?
Yeah, thank you. how they're hybridized.
Yeah. Now, you want to plant them according to your average last frost date 2 weeks after. But again, now, where we're at, we've actually had to hold off longer because the frost is over doesn't mean it's still cold at night. It's still in the mid-50s, you know, consistently, and we have to wait an extra couple of weeks in order to not have these plants get stunted when you put them in the ground and they grow a little bit because it's warm and it gets cold again and they stunt and the production is very poor in that. Now, you can plant cucumbers in really two different ways. You can make a drill in the ground and just blast the seeds in there and just cram them full. Or you can do it more timely and more spacious and do one per square foot or one about every 6 to 8 inches if you're going a straight row.
Yeah. I mean, you could technically probably do two per square feet, but you definitely want to just make sure that if you do just blast the seeds into the ground, you thin them out because they do They require a good source of water, and then also you want to make sure that they have those nutrients.
They're going to compete.
Yeah, for sure.
And by having them vertical, you can do a couple of things. You can see visually if there's problems with the plant. Two, we talked about it, the bees and other pollinators can get in there and pollinate it better, and they can get more sun exposure, and they're less competitive towards one another, that they're not growing over each other or around. They've kind of got their own string or their own little pathway vertical as they grow up.
It prevents them from rotting. So like if you don't trellis them, they can vine out quite a bit, and you might miss a bunch because they're rotting in the ground or hiding behind leaves or who knows what else. So definitely trellising is really good here. It keeps them at essentially eye level-ish for you. So, yeah, you want to do that. Now, you want to think about keeping them watered. I mean,
goes
I know
without
it, seems,
saying.
It seems obvious, but the problem is that we all think, oh, yeah, I'm going to water. Oh, did I water? I don't know.
It's supposed to rain.
It's supposed to rain, yeah.
Didn't rain.
Yeah, and you get home from work and whatever, or work from home, and you look outside and it didn't rain, and then, yeah. So you want to make sure you might have to water them up to daily.
We've got a timer on our system where it waters three times a day for 20 minutes, and it keeps everything very hydrated and controlled out on drip irrigation from dripworks.com, and it puts it at the ground level. It's not spraying any foliage. Everything's down low. So pollination is another key here, another problem that we have to deal with. Whether we, you know, hand pollinating is kind of a challenge with zucchini, or with a cucumber, but you can bring in or encourage other pollinators to come in and pollinate these flowers.
Right. So then about 4 weeks into the season, you want to side dress them with just an all-purpose fertilizer, organic, inorganic, whatever you have.
We would encourage organic.
We would encourage organic. But again, cucumbers don't have a long life. So
that's the other thing. People are like, it's September. Why is my cucumbers dying off? Well, what happens in September in many portions of the United States, it starts getting cooler nights.
Yeah, the cooler nights.
Soil starts getting cooler.
And cucumbers like warmth.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you want to, about 4 weeks in, you want to give them a little boost of fertilizer. You can side dress or liquid fertilize, whatever you prefer. And that's going to help them do their thing. Another thing is that you want to harvest often.
Uh-huh. So, well, with the fertilizer, you can get a jug of Dr. Jim's and water, compost that right in the ground there, water that in. Yeah, and the other thing is, we talk about it all the time, harvest, and more harvest.
Yeah. So you might go out, you know, Monday, oh, that cucumber looks close enough, I'll get it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you get distracted, whatever.
And they play with smaller items in the NFL than what you're picking out of your cucumber patch.
Yeah, and then pretty soon you have this football-sized cucumber and it's bitter and gross and not delicious. And
the other problem is, if you let a cucumber go to that stage where it gets yellow and it gets white, that plant is shutting down because its job is to reproduce. Make sure the seeds in that very large cucumber are as mature as possible. The plant dies off. It's done its thing. Life over. Move on. If you consistently harvest cucumbers at a very smaller, more manageable, store-bought size, you're going to have more consistency because that plant is going to keep rapidly producing more to try to get to that stage in which cucumber it can put mature seeds on.
Right. I would rather eat four smaller cucumbers than try to chew down one large, woody, big.
Well, you can't chew.
Bitter,
you can't eat.
No.
Pigs don't even like the bitter cucumbers, right. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So there's just a number of things there that hopefully that will help you in your cucumber growing capabilities. And if you've got any questions, you can certainly email us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Well, now that the weather is warming up, in some places it is warm, you want to protect your garden from various beetles, weevils, and borers, including those Japanese beetles.
And what better way to prevent those pests from destroying your garden than by controlling them while they are larvae? Grub Gone is an easy-to-apply granular product that can be spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. Developed by Phylum Bioproducts from a naturally occurring bacteria, Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only scarab pests, and it is safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
Yes, and if all and if you already have beetles flying around your yard, and some of you do, it is an organic water dispersible powder that can be sprayed directly onto your edible plants. Find out more and where to buy at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phyllom bioproducts.com. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, Wei Zhang will be with us. He is a polymer scientist, engineer, inventor, and we got some questions to ask him. You're listening to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show, a program to help your garden grow better.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order. See what all you can do with a real Tiger Torch. Visit TigerTorchLTD.com for more information. Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at mysoulbrew.com or find them on Facebook at mysoulbrew. Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you.
Have essential oils always confused you like they did me? Take out some of the guesswork with Simply Earth. The Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box will help you gain confidence and clarity in using essential oils to help make your home toxin-free. Here's how it works. You receive the recipe box with 4 pure essential oils, 6 recipe cards, and extras. Then you learn how to use your essential oils while making the recipes created by certified aromatherapists. Clear and concise step-by-step directions. Save money and detoxify your life. I got to make fun products that will detoxify my home while also learning safe ways to use my essential oils. The best part is these oils don't break my budget. Simply Earth's essential oils are 100% pure and come from the best farms from all over the world. Using essential oils to support your wellness doesn't have to be overwhelming. My home is one step closer to being toxin-free because I made the wax melts and more with the Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box. Visit simplyearth.com to find your recipe box and more.
Straw bale gardening is all the rage. Get your bale started easily with the Bale Buster Straw Bale Conditioning Formula. This is the only product that has been specifically formulated for use in straw bale gardening. Each unit contains 250 million colony-forming units of trichoderma, fungi, and Bacillus bacteria, in addition to the fertilizer itself, produces fantastic results with a bountiful production of vegetable crops. Start with the best to get the best, traditional or organic formula. Take the guesswork out of conditioning your straw bale. Go to balebuster.com to find out more. Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night. Dries clear and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Good bugs to eat bad bugs. RinconVitova.com. Call or email today. 1-800-248-BUGS.
Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. ProPlugger, DripWorks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Wei Zhang moments away. But first, do you have carpenter bees? Do you have mud daubers? Do you have problems of them damaging your home, your property, your barn, your shed, your hunting camp? Well, Rescue has a product that can fix that for you.
Yeah, Rescue Carpenter Bee Trap Stick also works on wasps, mud daubers. Carpenter bees bore holes and tunnel into wood to lay eggs and care for their larvae. These holes and tunnels in the wood invite mold and rot into homes, decks, fences, and any other wood structures. Spring is the best time to catch carpenter bees before they mate, but Trap Stick can be used throughout the summer and early fall to control carpenter bees. Rescue makes a carpenter bee trap stick that is simple to use and pesticide-free. You hang the trap sticks from the wood structures you want to protect. You can go to carpenterbeecontrol.com to watch a video about carpenter bees and learn how to prevent them with the trap stick from Rescue. Like all Rescue products, trap sticks are made in the USA. That's carpenterbeecontrol.com or rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Wei Zhang is a polymer scientist, engineer, and an entrepreneur with focuses on specialty coatings and green technologies. He is the co-founder of Zinnovation, which is a company that invited Tree Diaper. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joanna Holly. It's very pleasure to be here.
Well, we want to make everything transparent here. You are a sponsor of the program through Tree Diaper, and I want you to go ahead and just tell us what Tree Diaper is, how did it develop real quickly, and why people should look into and use Tree Diaper on their property.
Great, thank you. Tree Diaper is a multifunctional plant protection system. It's better known for the feature of catching rain, snow, water, and then slowly releasing them back when soil dries. So it helps keep a steady soil moisture level for much longer time than any other water methods. And there's a very important but a rather unknown feature. It not only solves the underwater issue, but also solves the overwater issue. Now, the reason that the main mechanism of water release is not by gravity, not by pressure neither. Instead, it's by osmosis. So it can actually absorb the water back up when you have too much water in the soil. Treat-up is the only method that will allow the taking water back. I mean, if you have a irrigation system, you can pressurize the water sources, and then they don't allow a water flow back. Actually, they use a backflow preventer to prevent the contamination. And the water back release the water by gravity, and unless you can reverse gravity, they will not take the water back up. So conventionally, the only way to reduce overwatering problem is to drain it away. So Tree Diaper have changed the game by storing this otherwise waste water for later use. And in addition, Tree Diaper help with weed control, soil protection, reduce erosion, protect plants against extreme temperatures, and so on and on.
Okay, great. So if you are wanting to incorporate trees into your landscape, what are some things to know before you plant, like before you just plant a tree and do your good deed for the environment?
Oh, Holly, don't get me started. This can be a long list. First of all, trees are tough, and most of the plants are. Naturally, they are growing into forest, and as long as you don't touch them, they grow up anywhere, including roof cities, and then in the rural, railroads, and then anywhere. But it can be difficult to when you incorporate into landscape. Actually, planting a tree is rather easy. Dig a hole, stuck it in, and then fill that up. That's the planting part, right? And then that's easy. But growing one takes a lot more effort than just that, especially in the urban area and for landscape. Most of these trees are transplanted from farms. And during the transplanting process, a large portion of their roots are left behind at the farm. Well, yeah, they are container plants, but they are less popular. And also, they use the irrigation system on the farm, and then they water on a daily basis, maybe sometimes multiple times per day. So my friend, Mr. Gordon Mai, the consulting offers from Auburn, California, he used to say, growing a tree is like raising a child. you do not expect your child to be independent right after birth. And actually, it means a minimum of 18 years of nurturing, education, and support. And trees won't take that long, but so many tree planting projects literally means planting only. It is at the peak around this time of year, the Earth Day, Arbor Day, that. And then, but during the hot summer days, all these tree, newly planted trees are just forgotten, and nobody can care about them. And then, don't worry. Next year, the same thing will repeat again, right around the Earth Day and Arbor Day. So we recommend a 1 year watering per inch caliper for larger trees. That is considering watering your maybe 2 year caliper trees for 2 years before considering the fully established. And by the way, the contractor typically offer 1 year warranty and it have nothing to do with the establishment. Second, people tend to water only the root bulb of their newly planted trees. That is where the roots are, so I don't blame them. But if you do that, the trees tend to grow the roots inside the rootable and it doesn't integrate with the new environment quickly. I wrote a blog about this a few weeks ago, and we have been recommending people to water not only the rootable, but water surrounding soil to promote a healthy outward root growth. That is why we recommend choosing tree diaper size that is roughly about the double of the rootable size. And then third, check if the soil is compacted. It's very common for urban areas to have compact soils. Fourth, stop putting too much mulch on the tree trunk. It's not pretty. It's not healthy. And the fifth, don't plant too deep. That's not a very common problem. We can go on for another hour if you like.
Well, a lot of good information there. What should the average gardener do about their own moisture retention capabilities? If they have or they feel their soil is too porous, what can they do to improve that soil to retain moisture instead of let it run right through?
Joey, you are right on. You are spot on about this porous soil doesn't retain the soil, doesn't retain the water very well. And actually, the other side of the spectrum, soil structure spectrum, that's the clay soil, they may retain the water very well, but the amount of water become available for the plants is also low. So the porous side and then the not porous side are both are very low. That's called the plant available water. I would say in the middle of the soil structure chart, that's the lone soil will allow the most water retention. And the plant available water is defined as the fill capacity and the wilting point, the water between these two points. I mean, if you have water above the fill capacity, you have a standing water, which is bad for the plants because it depletes the oxygen from the roots. I mean, it creates the overwater issue like a root rot. And then when you are above this point, you want to drain that water away as quick as possible. If you go beyond 30 hours, you're going to start to have a problem. Below the wilting point, apparently plants wilt, right? There may be a lot of water in the soil, but plants just cannot extract it anymore, especially in the clay soil. In the sandy soil, it just simply doesn't have enough of the plant available water. It just doesn't have much water there to start with. You know, stone water retention is dependent on the soil composition, structure. Rainwater retention really is the best for you to water your garden. So conventional, if you want to increase the soil, the plant available water, it typically means expensive soil amendment. You mix up them with a loam, you mix up them with silt loam, that type of soil that help increase the plant available water. As we just talked, when you have more water than the fill capacity, you want to drain them away as quickly as possible. But we have found that if you use tree diaper by catching them and slowly releasing the rainwater, and it can greatly, significantly increase the plant available water. it is achieved by creating an overwatering without the overwatering problem by allowing the air flow to the roots. It is because the water stored in the tree diaper is not in a liquid form. A liquid form would squeeze all the air out. I call it solid water with air pockets. It's a single term, solid water with air pockets. It releases the water by osmosis. It can also charge with the same process when there's too much water in the soil. So that will be definitely a new, a good way to enrich the soil moisture in a porous soil.
Okay. So what is green infrastructure and how can someone implement that into their garden or in their backyard?
Holly, this is a hot topic right now. Green infrastructure. Green stormwater infrastructure, to be exact, is especially designed for stormwater retention and for reduction of stormwater runoff. Some well-known types are also called a rain garden. You know, stormwater runoff has been a big issue recent years because we just built too many roads, too many roofs, too many parking lots. And this impervious surface doesn't allow the water to penetrate. And we're also cutting down the tree that used to be there. And that will take away a lot of the retention and detention of the rainwater. So all this water goes into the drain. Well, 90% of the U.S. population live in an urban or suburban environment. And if you put your city name, that's the phone game you can play. If you put your city name, the name of major river and a lake near you, the word raw sewage in a Google search, I guarantee you you will find a news report about untreated raw sewage being released in your river because of rainfall. guaranteed. If you cannot find, I'll find it for you. This is due to the most city use a so-called combined stormwater and sewage system. The system cannot handle the water from even medium of the rainfall, let alone a large rainfall. So they have let it go. It's also called the combined sewage overflow. So that's what is the technical term about this sewage release. So actually, it can be more. It is more about the peak warning than the overall warning. Yes, if we can flatten the curve, there won't be any problems. It is the same thing like how we dealt with the COVID issue before vaccine. If everybody retain and even delay the runoff of the storm water from their properties, then you won't have any issue with the combined sewage overflow. Similar to any garden, the biggest challenge in the drain infrastructure is the overwater and underwater issue. And then back to your last question about the porous soil, and these drain infrastructures need to use a very sandy soil, porous soil. So, and also this structure is designed to capture the rainfall. So during the storm, it had to be flooded. If it doesn't get flooded, then the construction has failed. When you need to let the water sitting around too long, there will be a problem. So you will not want to do that. And the sandy soil facilitate the drainage. Sandy soil, the problem is that it drains fast, dries fast. In between the storm and in droughts, it becomes a desert. Irrigation requirements is not uncommon for green stormwater infrastructures. To get it to work properly for large green infrastructure, you will need landscape engineering designs and as well with professional installations. It can be very expensive. So it's not commonly done for homeowners in their yards, but for small scale rain garden, it can be easily done. You will be doing that, your city a bigger favor. And then don't expect your mayor send you a thank you letter. Just forget about it. All you need is a lower portion of your yard to start. You still need to remove some dirt, adding some porous media and the drainage, but it can be done cheap and easy. I'm not a designer, but I see same people do it. A friend of mine from Baltimore is doing one right now without any heavy equipment. He used tree diaper to do much of the problem solving for the overwater and underwater issues in that rain garden. So I just know that because he just keeps me updated all kind of from time to time. So hope this can help more people to do that favor for their city.
Yeah, that's definitely very interesting. So how can people find out more about the tree diaper and that information?
You can find that on the treediaper.com. And you can also write me directly and send an email to info@treediaper.com. If you have a question that I can answer, don't be surprised. I would say I don't know. Actually, that has been my most common answers to the question I have received in the past few years. So, yeah.
Well, Wei, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us, not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions, our garden answers. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
The Water Hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The Water Hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com.
Gardening is the number one hobby and birding is the number two hobby nationwide. They go hand in hand. Birds help gardens grow by eating bad bugs. Reward them with Wild Delights premium quality mixes. Wild Delights premium mixes are made with tasty nuts and berries and not just filler food like Milo and cracked corn. Feed the birds the nutrition they need. This keeps your feathered friends coming back year after year for your visual delight and for the happiness of your garden. Keep your feeders full all year round with Wild Delight premium bird food. Find out more at wilddelight.com.
Seed Savers Exchange has been saving, preserving, and sharing heirloom seeds since 1975, and today continues to provide those seeds for gardeners just like you. They have over 600 varieties. Visit seedsavers.org to request a free catalog or to purchase seeds online for this year's growing season. That's seedsavers.org.
Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at piperandleaf.com.
Chapin has the tools to help you this season. We have a wide range of sprayers to help you control pests, weeds, and fertilize your plants. From handheld to ATV sprayers, we have it all. Use our broadcast spreader to feed and seed your green spaces. Water and feed at the same time with our fertilizer injectors. Find Chapin equipment at major home improvement and hardware stores and online at chapinmfg.com. Chapin, cover more ground.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
ShipDrop is a website. You can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. ShipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ChipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account. We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting bloomineasyplants.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rincon Vitova, Chip Drop, Balebuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Time for your questions, our answers. You got a question, you can send it on over at GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or you can jam your fingers in the phone and give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. Had a number of questions come in. We'll see what we can get through. Our neighbor shared some cow manure that he got from a local farmer. It doesn't appear to be what they call green manure. I'm just thinking maybe of adding it to the soil and tilling it in. We won't be planting until the end of May. Some articles say that it can be helpful, adding manure. So should I worry about it? Is it a good idea to use it now? Will it burn my plants? And my other question is, the cornmeal around tomatoes, do you put that in the hole at the time of planting or around the base after the plant is in the ground?
So the manure, that she provided a picture for us in the manure, and it looked very fresh still. And so we advised her to wait at least until fall and let it age a bit. Otherwise, next spring it should be just fine. If you are not sure about adding something to your garden, like whether it be the cow manure, you think it's a little bit too fresh, definitely you're better off waiting.
You will do a lot of damage.
Yeah, you're better off waiting.
There are manures in which you can add that doesn't burn that will add that nitrogen. Cow manure is not one of them.
Right. The cornmeal, you just sprinkle around the base of your plant. So you plant your tomato, and then you sprinkle around the base of your plant once at the beginning of planting, and then like 6 weeks later.
And we had a question come in your Instagram account, Holly. Go ahead and give a plug for that one.
Yeah. Hi, I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for how to avoid breaking my back. I carry a lot of weight in my midsection. I find that kneeling and bending over for an extended period of time is painful, but I desperately need to weed my garden beds and do some pruning that requires. I'd love it if you had any resources you could point me towards. So,
well, now let's just be, if you want to see what we look like, you go to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. And there's a picture of us. Holly, you're not a thin girl.
No, I carry my weight.
Yeah.
In my midsection as well.
And this is why they address the question to you. Not as an insult, but for an advice.
No, exactly. And I have connections with many plus-size people on social media who follow me, and I follow them, and I appreciate that they asked me the question. So what I do is, if I feel like squatting or bending or kneeling is too much, I'll sit on a 5-gallon bucket, and I will kind of lean into the garden that way. There's also...
Which we have raised beds, which makes that more accessible for you or other people of that caliber.
Right. There's also something called a garden kneeler / stool, and it's a two-sided deal where you can use it as a stool or you can flip it over and use it as a kneeler. There's portable stools that are rated up to 400 pounds, sometimes 500 pounds. That's an option. There's also stools that have wheels on them. So if you are like, you know, I can reach across halfway of the bed, but I just hate getting up and down, you could kind of scoot yourself back and forth. So there's a lot of different options. If you just Google garden stool, garden weeding stool, garden kneeler, garden...
For a large person, you can put that in there too, wouldn't you?
You can put it, but most of them will say like the weight restriction or whatever. And then you can base it from there. But they are pretty sturdy typically. So another thing you would want to consider is if your garden bed is surrounded by grass, you might want to look for something that has bigger wheels versus smaller wheels so you can easily move over that terrain.
Well, with that being said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of this program or want to revisit in its entirety? There's a couple of ways in which you can do such. You can go to our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and click on the Radio Season 5 tab at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, simple as that, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you the link to this show. Join us next week on the program when we will be covering weeds in your garden and in your yard and what to do to deal with them, as well as at least four, I'm thinking more like five or six, free items that you can use in your garden to grow better for free. And author Joseph Tykondovic will be with us and will answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.